This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, November 30th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the second part in a series on concerns about pollution coming from large-scale dairy farms. Also, a forecast for the weekend, a forecast that includes some very questionable weather from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. State legislators finished a special legislative session Thursday without funding for mass transit, but key players of Illinois government say they'll continue to meet in hopes of finding a solution by the end of the year on that and other issues, including gambling expansion and a public works plan. Amanda Vinicky has more.
Governor Rod Blagojevich says Illinois must come up with a way to get the Chicago area's transit systems more money by Christmas, before the system's union contracts expire and before train and bus routes are cut and fares are hiked. He says first, however, the demands of many downstate and Republican lawmakers must be met, and the legislature must pass a capital plan to fund school, road, and other construction projects statewide.
I think anybody who fails to recognize that is jeopardizing transit in the Chicagoland area.
Funding for infrastructure would come from gambling expansion. According to Senate Republican leader Frank Watson, the current proposal puts a casino in Chicago and another elsewhere. Watson says negotiations are moving along, but he says it's impossible to predict when they'll reach a final agreement.
These are all just issues that just have to be ironed out and worked out, and it just seems like it just takes forever.
The governor and legislative leaders will next meet on Monday. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Some East Central Illinois lawmakers say the governor should pay more attention to an education funding bill that's awaiting his signature. AM 580's Jim Meadows has that angle.
The bill is the budget implementation bill for education, which authorizes the actual spending of money earmarked in the state budget for education. Democratic State Senator Mike Frericks of Champaign says that for the governor to focus on mass transit while doing nothing about the budget implementation bill shows misplaced priorities.
The House and Senate both passed a budget implementation bill unanimously. The governor has yet to sign that. That means schools throughout my district aren't getting the money that we appropriated to them.
Instead, they're getting money at last year's lower levels. Republican State Representative Chapin Rose of Mahomet says his district alone is losing millions of dollars for lack of the governor's signature.
The stated reason is it's under review. What is there to review? You demanded we pass it. We passed it. Sign it.
Rose spoke on the Illinois House floor during this week's special session, calling on the governor to sign the budget implementation bill, as did Danville Republican Bill Black. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Two of the most active voices for school funding reform during the 1990s say today's political leaders can learn from their mistakes. Former University of Illinois President Stanley Eikenberry headed a committee that proposed equalizing funds for K-12 schools through an income tax increase and changes in property taxes. The proposal eventually led to a minimum funding level for poorer schools, but it failed to catch them up to more affluent districts. Eikenberry says those who support revamping school funding need to better explain the process to the grassroots.
When you start talking about school funding, people immediately say, "Oh, you're talking about more money for schools," and it is very difficult to get the public to understand. No, we're not just talking about more money for schools. We're talking about more equitable. We're talking about changing the system.
Former Governor Jim Edgar is pessimistic that Illinois will ever provide equal funding to all school districts, but he says with the support of an understanding governor, lawmakers could someday pass more adequate funding. Edgar and Eikenberry spoke at a noontime discussion of education funding on the U of I campus yesterday. A 21-year-old Marine from Arcola was killed this week in Iraq. The Defense Department says Corporal Alan Roberts died Wednesday in a vehicle accident near Al Asad. The 2004 graduate of Arcola High School was assigned to a Marine attack squadron based out of Arizona. Friends are remembering Roberts as respectful, hardworking, and a student who also played football. He enlisted in the Marines in 2004 and served in Iraq since May. Funeral arrangements for Roberts are pending. The trial of a former Urbana grade school teacher accused of molesting 9 girls has been moved to Macon County. Champaign County Judge Harry Clem granted a change of venue to the attorneys for John White, citing the extensive pretrial publicity the case has received. The trial is now slated to start February 25th in Decatur. The former second-grade teacher faces numerous charges for alleged incidents that occurred at Urbana's Thomas Paine School and in a grade school in McLean County. Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz didn't argue against the change of venue. She says while she believes the fair and impartial jury could have been selected locally, it's not worth the potential damage to the trial's young witnesses.
There has been so much coverage of this case, so many facts that are out there, that it would be difficult. And the last thing that we want to do is to have to try this case again, to have to start the case only to find we can't pick a jury and delay the trial. Put these children who are our witnesses in any more trauma than they've already been.
Judge Clem said someone in the Champaign area would have to be living under a rock or just moving to the region to not have heard about the White case. He says it would be a waste of time to have begun jury selection in the county only to find an impartial jury couldn't be found. He says while he felt Macon County jurors would be aware of the White case, they would have a different mindset. The University of Illinois is asking its students and faculty not to travel to Pakistan. The U of I says it's suspending programs that require university or employees or students to be there. William Brustein is the associate provost for international affairs. He says recent violence and the decision to suspend the Constitution and declare a state of emergency spurred the U of I to speak out. But Brustein says contact with Pakistan won't be completely cut.
I'm pretty confident that we can do a lot without having our people on the ground there. And again, this, you know, we watch the situation day by day, and the situation could in a week or two improve to a level that we would be feel comfortable in reversing this decision.
Brustein says General Pervez Musharraf's announcement that he'll lift the state of emergency soon doesn't immediately affect the ban. He says those who do go to Pakistan will do so at their own risk. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Dairy farms are getting bigger. Many keep thousands of cows in buildings the size of several football fields. Those big dairy operations can make a lot of milk. That translates into cheaper prices at the grocery store. But some worry that these large farms are polluting the land and water around them. In the second part of a series for the Environment Report, Mark Brush reports on what's being done to watch for water pollution problems and what the dairy farms are doing to reduce pollution.
About 1,000 cows are in this building, eating, lolling around, and waiting for the next round of milking. There's a sharp smell of manure hanging in the air. Big fans are blowing to keep the cows cool and to keep the air circulated. Steven Vanderhoff runs this dairy along with his siblings. He says these big farms are good for consumers.
We've got something here, and we've been able to do it in such a way that we are still producing at the same cost as we were 15 years ago. It costs more now for a gallon of gas than a gallon of milk. And so that's something to be proud of.
Vanderhoff's dairy produces enough milk to fill 7 tanker trucks every day. They also produce a lot of waste. The cows in this building are penned in by metal gates. They can't go outside, so the manure and urine that would normally pile up is washed away by water. Tens of thousands of gallons of wastewater are sent to big lagoons outside. Eventually, the liquefied manure is spread onto nearby farm fields. It's a challenge for these farmers to deal with these large pools of liquid manure. The farther they have to haul it, the more expensive it is. And almost all of them put the manure onto farm fields. It's good for the crops if it's done right, but if too much manure is put on the land, it can wash into streams and creeks. In fact, this dairy has been cited by the state of Michigan for letting their manure get into nearby waterways. Lynn Henning keeps a close eye on Vanderhoff's dairy. She steps from her car with a digital camera and a device that measures water quality. She weaves her way down to the edge of this creek.
This is the location we had E. coli at 7.5 million.
High E. coli levels mean the water might be polluted with dangerous pathogens. Lynn Henning is testing the creek today because she saw farmers spreading liquid manure on the fields yesterday. Henning is a farmer turned environmental activist. She works for the Sierra Club and drives all over the state taking water samples and pictures near big livestock farms. Henning says she got involved because more of these large animal farms expanded into her community. She says when the farmers spread the liquid manure, it can make life in the country pretty difficult.
The odor is horrendous when they're applying. We have fly infestations. We have hydrogen sulfide in the air that nobody knows is there because you can't always smell it. We have to live in fear that every glass of water we drink is going to be contaminated.
Water contamination from manure is a big concern. The liquid manure can contain nasty pathogens and bacteria. Joan Rose is a microbiologist at Michigan State University.
If animal wastes are not treated properly and we have large concentrations of animal waste going onto land and then via rainfall or other runoff events entering into our water, there can be outbreaks associated with this practice.
Rose tested the water in this area and found high levels of cryptosporidium that likely came from cattle. Cryptosporidium is the same bug that killed people in Milwaukee back in 1993. Rose says livestock farmers need to think more about keeping these pathogens out of the water. But she says they don't get much support from the state and researchers on how best to do that. For now, the farmers have to come up with their own solutions. 3 years ago, the state of Michigan sued Stephen Vanderhoff's dairy for multiple waste violations. The Vanderhoffs settled the case and agreed to build a $1 million treatment system. But Vanderhoff isn't convinced his dairy was at fault and thinks that people's concerns over his dairy are overblown.
If we had an issue or had done something wrong, the first people that want to correct it is us. We live in this area, so why would we do anything to harm it?
Vanderhoff is upbeat about the new treatment system. He says it will save the dairy money in the long run. The Sierra Club's Lynn Henning says she's skeptical of the new treatment plant. She'll continue to take water samples and put pressure on these farms to handle their wastes better. In the end, she doesn't think these big farms have a place in agriculture. She'd rather see farms go back to the old style of dairying, where the cows are allowed to graze and the number of animals isn't so concentrated. But farm researchers say because consumers demand cheap prices, these large farms are here to stay, and there will be more of them. Because of this, the experts say we can expect more conflicts in rural America. For the Environment Report, I'm Mark Brush.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Meteorologist Ed Keezer says winter storm watches are posted for good portions of northern and western Illinois, in some cases central Illinois, including McLean County. The Bloomington-Normal area and the Peoria area are both under winter storm watches. And those stretch from Saturday morning for the northwest corner of Illinois through late Saturday night through some of the portions of central Illinois and far north central and northeast Indiana as well. Our forecast calls for a cloudy day in far northern Illinois with a few early flurries, then becoming mostly sunny. Far northern Indiana, cloudy with scattered flurries, but elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny and rather quiet. Highs from around 30 in far northwest Illinois to 52 in the far south, 44 the high in Champaign-Urbana. Look for a clear sky in Illinois early tonight, then increasing clouds after midnight, still clear in Indiana. Overnight lows from 12 degrees in northwest Illinois to 32 far south, 18 in Champaign. And for tomorrow, in northwest and west central Illinois, a wintry mix of wet snow, sleet, and freezing rain arriving, then changing to all freezing rain. Elsewhere in northern Illinois and northwest Indiana, mostly cloudy with a wintry mix arriving in the afternoon. In central Illinois and in west central Indiana, mostly cloudy with freezing rain and rain arriving during the afternoon. And then in eastern Indiana and the south, just mostly cloudy. Highs from 28 in far northwest Illinois to 54 far south, 33 the high tomorrow in Champaign-Urbana. Look for periods of rain overnight on Saturday into Sunday, the low 33 with temperatures slowly rising into the 40s overnight. Then Sunday's high in Champaign-Urbana, 47 with clouds and periods of rain continuing. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, November 30th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.